The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you receive back." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We'd like to invite those third graders back up with their parents and bring your Bibles, and also the rest of the children who are present, please come up and join us as well.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak.
Okay, third graders, I want you to come up here.
Loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Okay, come on forward. All right, so good morning. You say good morning back, are you ready? Good morning. Good morning. It's good to have you here. We're going to do something together today. We have some third graders, and as you heard before, they have received new Bibles, and they've learned about them. And some of you are older than third grade, and you've done this, and some of you will be in third grade at some point, and you will get to do this as well. So we are going to help them bless their Bibles, but first, they have something to do as well. So, and you have the parents.
Today, parents, you have fulfilled a promise made at your child's baptism to place in your hands, in the, your child's hands, the Holy Scriptures.
And third graders, you have practiced reading Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 to prepare for this blessing. So can you read that together now?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart.
Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are home
and when you are away, and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on doorposts of your house, on your gates.
Thank you. So what we heard them saying, did you pick up on some of those words? When are you supposed to know the words of God and love God? Did you hear when? No? It said, when you lie down and when you rise. So what does that sound like? That sounds like morning and night, right? All day. And we also heard when you go out and when you come home. What does that sound like? Yeah, so when you're with people you know and love and when you're out in the world and amongst everybody, right? So it's kind of like all the time.
Is there a time that I cannot do it?
No.
Okay.
Especially not you.
That's true. God, parents and parents. God tells us as parents to speak about God and about our relationship with God and all that we do when we are at home and when we are away at all times. As a parent, you are the primary faith teacher for your child, and as a congregation, we have pledged to support you in this effort. Today, as we bless these Bibles being given to these children, we renew our promise to one another.
Okay, so do you have your Bibles? All right, so I want all, see, there's three Bibles here. So this group kind of turned to Ella's Bible. She can hold it
children.
And put your hands on her Bible. And then we need some of you to come up to these boys and put your hands
everybody
on their Bible.
Everybody put your hands on their Bibles, but not a lot of weight.
Or you come down. Maybe that's easier if you kind of come down to them.
Can you guys come around the kids so that they
Kay.
Can find a way to bless your Bibles?
Come get your hands on one of the Bibles.
But it's low enough for the little ones.
There you go. Okay.
All right, has everybody got a hand on one? Aubrey, okay. Find your way in there. Just scooch in.
There you go.
Let's
okay,
pray.
Okay, we're going to pray.
God, from the beginning, it's okay if you don't repeat this part. It's long. God, from the beginning, your word spoke light into darkness and order into chaos. Your word was on the hearts and doorposts of the Israelite people. You spoke through the prophets so that the Israelite people would remain faithful. You spoke loudest in the coming of your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke words of healing, mercy, and love. In his death on a cross, he spoke without words, but with actions. And then Peter, Paul, and all the disciples preached, wrote, and acted on this word of God for the sake of the entire world.
Okay, so now you're going to repeat after me. We pray that the word.
We pray that the word.
Of God will bless their homes.
Of God will bless their homes.
And their families.
And their families.
And their hearts.
And their hearts. May these Bibles
sow
the seeds
of God's love and grace.
Of God's love and grace.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for coming up and helping us
parents.
Do that. Can I undo this? I'm gonna start down here. Right. Thank you for participating in that. We have a little other participation here in a moment. This week in chapel, I decided to try to explain this letter to the Corinthians and the image of the body of Christ to 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Yeah, I have an early childhood degree, so sometimes I get a little overconfident. But one of the ways we started was just that song, Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. Do you know it? Okay. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, I can't reach them. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, very good, you do remember it. Now, preschoolers can do it at supersonic speed, but I'll let you try that at home. On your own. So after we sang this song, we spent a little time talking about how our bodies are connected together and how that's like how we're connected to God and each other. And then they all shared. We talked about what is something that they were good at that either was a way that they could help people or maybe a way that brought others joy. So they all shared something that they're good at. And as I listened to the children tell me things like they can share and they can play with their little brother or sister, or maybe they can help their mom make their bed, I realized that sometimes a very complicated sounding theological metaphor is maybe not that complicated after all. So our text from Corinthians sounds complicated. Paul's kind of talking in a circle. And I've studied scripture for many years, and I still had to read it like 10 times before I was going to be able to make sense out of what Paul was trying to say to us today and where he was going. But Paul, through this circular way, is trying again to bring the Corinthians back to the very center of where they are centered, in Christ, and also not separate from each other, and also not separate from their very own bodies. See, one of the spiritual concerns for the Corinthians, as they started to learn about who Jesus was and following this way of life, was about that very physical body. The background here is that many of them really struggled with the idea of the resurrection of the body. They were in general not a people who had considered an afterlife of the body before, and they were actually very repulsed by the idea of corpses. Their belief systems had centered around the idea where the body and the soul or the spirit were completely separate entities, and really their hope was for the ongoing of the soul to be apart from the body. Now, this makes more sense when we consider their life at the time, the life of the people for the majority of the Roman Empire. Life inside the body was difficult. Food was not abundant or always easy to come by. Healthcare didn't exist. Conditions were so rough that less than 50% of children lived to be 10 years old. So death was a part of everyday life. So hoping to escape the hardship of the physical body was a hope that the very essence of who you were, the very core of your being, was not tied to an unhealthy, difficult casing. Paul, however, does not want the Corinthians to think about their casing, to think about their body, as separate from God's creating and redeeming power. Paul believes very much in some form of bodily resurrection. His conversion experience actually ties back to that. If you'll remember, he is converted by seeing Jesus come to him, and he's blinded and sent on his way. So this does not mean that Paul was kind of ahead of his time in starting the current popular trend of zombie entertainment, right? So he's not affirming this idea of the walking dead or saying that there's some kind of resuscitation of decayed corpses. Paul's hope for the bodily resurrection is all about transformation of the earthly body into a body that has not been corrupted by the powers of sin and death, which is to say also of pain and suffering and illness. Paul's hope was for them to know the God of creation made all of them, and that God could transform even their body and make anything new, redeem and transform that inner person, redeem and transform that outside casing, redeem and transform the community as a whole and all of creation. Paul is trying to help them see that God's gift of creating humans was body and spirit together, and that resurrection was not for just one piece of a person, but for the whole being, and that God could do even that. Now, we do know more today about connections of body and mind and spirit. We know that what is in our minds has an effect on the body, and how our bodies are doing can affect our minds and our hearts, and that our work affects our well-being, our relationships contribute to who we are, and our learning can make a difference in how we enter into all of those areas in all kinds of different ways. And yet we too still may have some of the same concerns about our bodies or our lives and how they are connected spiritually. Now, you hopefully can see, and we tried to hand this out as you came in, so you'll want to take out that colorful wheel handout, and you're welcome to take this home if you would like. Our church-wide organization, the ELCA, actually has this wholeness wheel, this wellness wheel, as a way to talk about these connections. You can see that there are six sections that come out of this center, and the center is that circle where we are named as God's child, first and foremost, in our inner being. And then outside this circle, you'll see there's intellectual well-being and social well-being, emotional, vocational, financial, and physical, all there in that wheel. And when we look at that, even as we know more, we can see and think about the times that we still focus in maybe on one thing or another, or wish for one thing or another to be better or different, or even separated from the rest of us for a while. We still struggle with the body and mind and spirit and how they can come together as one. So notice then that purple band that says spiritual well-being that wraps around the whole thing. It's like God's arms encircling the whole body, claiming us as whole and connected. Even while each of these areas can still be touched by sin, by death, by struggle and pain, each of these areas is also fully and wholly loved and promised to be a part of God's transformation and promise of new life for each of us. So the body of Christ is about our connections to each other in a community, and it's also about the connections within ourselves. And all of these are created and made new through the love and the grace of the Holy Spirit. You'll notice on that your wheel, it's set up to be a labyrinth, and there's some guides of how to pray through that if you like. It's a finger labyrinth, and there's more description on the back as well. So this being made new is not just about that mystery of eternal life or the resurrection that we still hold there as mystery. While Paul and the Corinthians lived in a time where they were expecting to see God revealed physically again in their lifetime, we don't live with that same type of daily expectation, even though the promise still remains. God keeps on being revealed to us in new ways, in big ways sometimes, in small ways, through conversations with preschoolers, and through the places that we each end up connected in our daily lives. One such story was told to me this week. Some of you may know Kendra Hansen, and she has a small group of volunteers who go out and engage in this ministry called KISS. She brings little Hershey's Kisses, and it's called Kendra Inspiring Seniors to Sing. Now, she has taken this gift of music, and she goes to 17 different senior citizens type of communities, so a variety of different settings, memory care, assisted living, the whole scope. And she brings music to them, and they sing together and sing songs on themes, but all songs that are from an era where they remember the music and remember the words. And she takes requests and sits and speaks with the people as well. So this week, a 95-year-old man named Bill had a birthday, and they sang happy birthday to him, and then he said to her, "I need to talk to you after." So here is what happened in Kendra's words. "After the program, I sat down next to Bill. He held my hands and looked me in the eyes. And there were 94 years of wisdom in those eyes. He said, 'I lost my wife last month. It was January 8th. I told him how sorry I was for his loss. And he said, before we went to sleep at night, we always sang a song to each other. And he started singing, I love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck.' And that was the first song that they had sang in the February program because of Valentine's Day. And love was the theme for this month. Wow. Then he said, I have an uncle who has an oak tree by his grave. And my family always makes sure that there is a yellow ribbon around the oak tree. Well, guess what song we had also sang that day? Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. It's been 3 long years. Do you still want me? Bill and I decided that there are no coincidences. There was a reason why we were brought together through music on this particular day. It's like someone was trying to send a message to him that his wife was closer than he even knew, that he would be okay. It's like God used me as a messenger for Bill, and I still shiver thinking about it. That was a Holy Spirit moment of connection for them together. Notice what you may have heard in that story, the touch of hands and the looking in of eyes and the sound of music and the senses of being connected. It wasn't in a church. It wasn't even about religious music, but it was about being brought together and being held in that moment of connection for Bill, for Kendra, for the volunteers who were there, and for us as a community that gets to hear this story and gets to support and send this ministry out into the world. The Spirit wrapped around the whole. Our spirits and our bodies, our minds and our hearts connecting us together and connecting us more deeply to ourselves. As we hold the mystery of the resurrection in our lives, we can also hold and know the physical presence of God in us and God with us and for one another. So at the end of chapel, we took all the complication of this metaphor and we prayed together that head, shoulders, knees, and toes song. So we are going to pray that together now. Go ahead and bless the parts of your body. God, thank you for the gift of our heads, our minds that can learn and know about you. Thank you for the gift of our shoulders that reach out our hands in love and helping others. Thank you for the gift of our knees that help us to remember to pray. Thank you for the gift of our toes that walk, help us walk in your way. Thank you for the gift of our eyes and ears and mouth and nose that open our whole selves up to your love. Amen.